Good morning, everyone. I want to say hello to my colleagues from Alameda County and from Oakland. It's good to see you here. So I'm Mia Lulukisen with Alameda County Public Health Department. I'm the Deputy Director of the Community Assessment Planning and Education Evaluations. I'm going to use that as CAPE. Albert said, I am way too busy to have any other financial relationships with this project. Let's see. So I'm going to share with you, Albert talked a lot about how to do this work on a very macro, statewide, across the country and through the territory. So I'm going to share with you what we've been doing at the local health department level and with our communities. And share with you our curriculum that you can also get online. I'll share that resource with you as we get towards the end and describe to you what we've accomplished so far. We've been doing this work since 2006 along with our strategic planning process, and it looks similar a lot to what you had talked about, Albert, with the strategic mapping. It's quite interesting. So we start out with a definition of health inequities, and this comes from Margaret Whitehead, who says that health inequities are differences in health which are not only unnecessary and avoidable, but they are unfair and unjust. So that's the premise that we start with. Now, we don't have quite a definition of health equity yet, but we use this one a lot on health inequities. And our model for approaching health equity in our health department and in our communities is that we, as a local health department, do data research. We provide a lot of programs and many, many services. But if we're going to really focus in on health equity and address, eliminate health inequities, we have to do institutional change. That's the internal capacity building piece for our health department, including both strategic planning and our Public Health 101 series that I'm going to describe to you. Policy change and community capacity building. We have a project that I'm responsible for that does intensive work in our communities in two very small neighborhoods in Oakland. So as I said earlier, we started out Public Health 101 training, the Workforce Development Training Series is part of our strategic planning process, and of which Dr. Barbara Greener-Jufo is here, who leads up the, co-facilitates the workforce development, cross-cutting work across our department. But in our strategic planning process, we had a very, well, as much as possible, a participatory process within our local health department staff and also with our communities and stakeholders. So we involved our board of supervisors, our city council folks. We have five board of supervisors in our county that are responsible for geographic sections of the county. So we went to each of those, we went to all their constituents, at least offered these discussions in their constituents, where we did SWOT analyses and asked them, what is a healthy community to you, and what is it going to take for us to work with you to address health inequities in your communities? And we took all that together. We actually took a two-year process to come up with what Albert came up with in your discussions. We actually took 2 years to do that, where we put together strategic directions and then the cross-cutting things that we need to address across the health department in our communities, and then in writing the strategic plan to the future, and then implementation. So one of the reasons why I'm sharing this with you is because our workforce development series was part of making sure that as many of our public health staff could participate in our discussions and move the health department and our communities forward on addressing health inequities. As you can see here, there's all these bubbles on top. So our model was to gather information from our fellows, leadership team, managers, and as many public health staff as possible, community-based organizations, our community residents. So in order to really have a meaningful discussion with our public health department staff, we needed to share and talk about what we mean about, for one thing, public health, because I think it was a while back, two decades ago, there was a study that found that about three-quarters of our public health workforce are not formally trained in public health. So we really needed to have a common language for everybody. So we developed this Public Health 101 series. So I'm going to share with you our implementation steps. Back in 2006, we had a staff survey, and we asked staff, it was one of those Survey Monkeys, and we asked them, what do they know about our organization? What do they know about health inequities, health disparities, cultural competency, and so forth? And then we also had, at the same time, a Leadership Fellows Program where we wanted, the health department wanted to create and foster more leadership within the health department staff to take on health inequities. And there's also a management fellows level as well. So we created a pilot of these modules, which I'll describe in a little bit, and then we did train the trainers, and then we took the project to scale. So we have 600 employees at our local health department, and so we're still not quite done. So the reason why we did this Public Health 101 series, this workforce development series, is like I said earlier, we wanted to ensure that all staff have an understanding of the past, present, and future of public health. We wanted to make sure that our staff are ready to address challenges, particularly having a common language of public health issues. And then, again, in moving forward with our strategic plan to eliminate health inequities in our county, we wanted to make sure that our staff can engage with us on, or all together, in addressing them, and particularly in regards to making sure that we improve the quality of our services to our residents. So we have about 1.5 million residents in Alameda County. So Albert talked about the Bay Area, well, Bob Prentice, who's a colleague of mine, and he and a group work together on this model. So this is our foundational model on a framework for health equity. And so as you can see here on the right, when we look at public health interventions at the more downstream level, we do a lot of work around individual health knowledge and impacting healthcare access and health status. So these factors, risk behaviors, risk factors and behaviors like smoking, nutrition, physical activity, all the things that you are all very familiar with, and also immunizations and so forth, and making sure that we have health access. All of these things definitely contribute to health outcomes. And if we want to take a look at the socio-ecological model moving more upstream in our public health interventions, then we look at, we have to really focus in on neighborhood conditions. Residential segregation, workplace conditions, we have to take a look at institutional power, and look at discriminatory beliefs, particularly racism and all the isms. So this, I have to drink some water. So this framework was really one of the starting places for us to create the workforce training development series that we've called Public Health 101. And then at the same time, thank you, our approach, our methodology, had to make sure that we provide a training series that was making sure that we had in-depth, not only insight into the issues, but figure out a way of taking this to action. So we use technology of participation, and they provide trainings through the, Institute for Cultural Affairs. Anyway, a lot of us got trained in this technology of participation. It really gets people thinking and sharing. And then, of course, the Freirean popular education pedagogy, making sure that there's in-depth understanding and then moving towards, again, like I said, action. And the goal was to create learning activities that foster the deep understanding of social determinants of health. And if you remember that previous slide, we talked about the framework that we're really moving upstream into the socio-ecological model. So our modules are five. And the first one is public health history, public health systems, core functions, and 10 essential services. So again, this is the beginning place for, staff to, I'll just keep going. Module one, this is the core functions and 10 essential services where, we talk about history of public health, again, from a social justice perspective, that public health interventions not only included immunizations and addressing communicable diseases, but things like Medicare and the laws that that had to do with income equity are part of our work, public health work. And so cultural competency, module 2, and cultural humility. We talk about cultural competency as those things that are the mandates, laws, rules, policy, standards, and practices, particularly around cultural and linguistic. The national standards, cultural standards, so that all institutions, including our health department, because we receive Medicare funds, this thing likes to go forward. I have to talk faster. And then cultural humility is about a process of lifelong commitment and self-evaluation. So this model, this particular module is also very interactive. And particularly since our county, so this is the Census 2000, you can see how diverse we are. Our white population is around 41%. Our Asian population is about 20%. Latino population around 19% at the time. African Americans about 15%. And then Native Americans 0.5. So I wonder if 2010 will also have an increase in our Latino and Asian population. So we're, again, like I said, we have a very diverse population. And then also, we have a very linguistically diverse population. So those bubbles that you see in Oakland, our Spanish-speaking population constitute a large, so these are monolingual Spanish-speaking population constitute a large percentage of our non-English-speaking population. Then you can also see in Fremont and Hayward, we also have large populations who are monolingual. Of not only Spanish, but Chinese, Tagalog, Vietnamese, Hindi, Korean, and Persian. So we emphasize the diversity of the populations that we work with. And then we're also a very diverse workforce as well. And then module 3, and I've been told that we can't call this undoing racism because there's no way to do this within 3 hours or 4 hours that we do this. But I want to emphasize that this is the beginning of our dialogue, because race and racism are very difficult conversations to have, and we have to have a starting place. So we use California newsreels, Race, the Power of an Illusion, and we take our participants through a very in-depth discussion of watching the videos and then having a focused conversation using technology of participation method. So our objectives for module 3 are to identify the underlying socioeconomic and political conditions that disproportionately privilege some groups while disadvantaging others. And then we want to identify how institutional racism impacts our residents, in particular, especially in relation to health outcomes, and create a safe environment where our staff can discuss the concerns and ideas for addressing institutional racism. And then we ask folks at the very end to ask what is one thing that they could do individually to address institutional racism or personal racism. So this is the reason, well, one of the reasons why we talk about race, place, and income and how it impacts health. So when we, in Oakland, I know we've been in the news a lot because of the Oscar Grant and Meserly trial, but in Oakland, there's a dividing line between the flatlands and then the hills. And our data has shown that when you compare a white child that lives in the affluent Oakland Hills to an African American born in child in West Oakland, there is a cumulative impact of 14 years difference in life expectancy. And as an infant, the African American child would be 7 times more likely to be born into poverty, 4 times less likely to read a grade level, and 2 times likely to die of heart disease. And again, if you remember our definition of health inequities, that this is unfair and unjust. And also the gap, let me see. So you could see that health inequities by race and ethnicity, African Americans in Alameda County over time, that there has been a growing disparity in health outcomes. In that middle there, you can start to see it around 1980, and that gap has continued. So this is the health disparities data. So in, then in module four, we introduce our staff to Bobby, who has asthma, and we take a look at, we talk about that the risk or the factors that affect Bobby having asthma and doing well with his asthma not only have to do with his age and hereditary features, but and individual and lifestyle factors, but the social and physical environment also play a great deal into his health and socioeconomic, cultural, political factors as well. Whoops, wrong way. So we go into what are social inequities and root causes of health inequities, and we name them. So they are segregation, income, employment, education, housing, transportation, air quality, food access, liquor stores, physical activity, and neighborhood conditions, criminal justice, access to health care, social relationships, and community capacity. Where income, how income affects health inequities at the neighborhood level is that the, as poverty increases, there is life expectancy decreases. So in 1999, the federal poverty level was $8,500 for one person living alone and $17,000 for a family of four. Now, in the San Francisco Bay Area, I think it's been, I think that in order to live decently in Alameda County, or that San Francisco Bay Area, a person has to have at least 40 or, you know, for a family of four, at least $45,000 to $50,000. And then place matters. So again, this is letting, these are slides from our module four that health inequities occur where people live. And so this is a map of our county, and you'll see where the lighter shades are. Mortality rates are, let's see, life expectancy is 82.7 in the lighter areas, and that coincides with the high income. And then the darker shades of brown, life expectancy is 72.7. So you'll see a big difference in life expectancy based on where people live. We also talk about the reason why transportation and health are related. So transportation have to do with access to health-related groups, access to employment, highway and transit-related air pollution, vehicle miles traveled, noise pollution, physical activity. And what's interesting in this transportation policy is that there is much greater funding for transportation for higher income neighborhoods than for lower income neighborhoods. So there's an inequity in funding. And then our fifth module is community capacity building. So we talk about in this module what we need to do as a health department staff to mobilize or work with our community residents to build their capacity to address their own health issues. And the research that supports this work is that health disparities are largely a result of social and environmental conditions, and they play out in neighborhoods, and therefore we need to work in these place-based interventions to work with the residents on root causes. So implementation results. So at this point, like I said, we started in 2006, full board in 2007. Module one, we have 88% of our 600 staff have completed. Module two, 77%. Module three, 76. Module 458 and module 5, we're at 45%. So you can see that we're not done. And these are very small groups, no more than 25. There are times when we work with 15 staff at a time. Staff rating, so we asked them to rate from 1 to 5, content, materials, organization. And it was interesting to me, you'll see module 3 has the highest rating, and actually I was real surprised in this because that's the most difficult one to have. Very, very emotional discussions, but and people feeling like they really need to understand more because this was just the very beginning of our discussion on race and racism. Oh, another interesting thing is that module one, it's the driest because it's a lot of information. So module one, they said informative, exciting. Sorry, but the information is exceedingly boring. It's history. There's not much you could do. Module two, they wanted us to include more things, more more on transgender LGBT cultural considerations, and then three, we need to, videos took too much of the training with less emphasis on exploring personal issues and developing a sense of how we can improve our own cultural and personal experience. Four, definitely, you know, it's been useful for strategic planning. And then five has been something that most of our staff have enjoyed. So challenges, we've done all of this in-house. Been the lead person in this and developed three of the trainings, and then our other staff have developed the rest or as a team. We've had train the trainers, so we've had multiple staff become trainers as well. And as you can see, we've been going over this for a long time. But what seems to be working, we've got half the staff who've done all the, you know, all the modules so far, and then there's been a lot of requests to do deeper dialogues on health equity, inequities, and the isms, and then commitment to working on racism. And we've learned that we really need to incorporate learning and reflection, use adult learning, be open to feelings, and you know, this very difficult conversation sometimes. And then we've done more. So we've done a lot more things to build staff capacity to eliminate health inequities. And we've had Dr. Kamara Jones and Dr. Ken Hardy come and work with us. More so Dr. Ken Hardy, who's made a commitment to us to have deep dialogues about race, racism, the isms. So, and then this is, again, like I said, a part of our strategic planning implementation. And our strategic plan and directions look a lot like that strategic map that Albert talked about earlier. And then these are the trainers who we've had so far. As you can see, a number of folks have been our internal staff trainers. And then resources. So if you want, we have this on our website. So if you want the curriculum with all the five modules, you can get them at the acphd.org Health Equity Training Index. You can download them, and then if you need more information, you can contact me or the staff person who's working with me, Kathy Schaff. Okay. Whoops. Any questions? Oh. I'm going to need help. Okay, you go first. Yeah. Yeah.
And is there some more data that kind of looks at other populations predominate
in the area? Yeah. So the first question about evaluation, right? So we have evaluations on each module, and we have that baseline evaluation for all staff. And we're actually thinking of waiting until we've finished all the modules with most of the staff, but just to see where it's impacted and changes in public health practice. So probably in the next few months we're going to do that. And the second question about other data on other populations, we have a lot of data on African American health in Alameda County, and then with the other populations, Latino health, we do have that, and we have that on our website. And we don't focus as much on that, and sometimes the data, the validity is not as great as with the African American. So Barbara is one of our epidemiologists. Can you talk a little bit, you know?
What was the question?
Data on African Americans and other, like, Latino Asian populations. And I was just saying that we have a wealth of data on the African American populations, and there are sometimes data from the other groups, like our Asians, Latinos, that
particularly work in HIV AIDS and like that, and so I'm not so sure how routine they
Yeah, we do, and the reason why we focus on African-American health really is that the African-Americans in our county bear the greatest burden of the diseases, and so we have wanted to take a concerted effort to improving the health of that population. Not that we're not concerned about the others, but again, the greatest burden is on that group. So we have time for one more question, sorry. Yes.
Just general.
General. Geez. What is it? Of our staff. You know, we don't have that data. Let's see. I imagine that our staff is probably at least a third people of color. About a third. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.